Greetings, church. It's good to be with you today. I hope that God has blessed you this week, and may His grace rest upon you as we study God's Word together. If you're watching this message on video, you can see that I have taken the studio on the road, or rather, today, on the hiking trail. I am sitting beside beautiful Cowichi Creek, just about a mile from my house, right there behind me, and I'm hearing around me the sounds of the water flowing and of birds calling out, and sometimes an insect going by. It's a beautiful, beautiful place that I've chosen here to wrap up our series, Strange Glimpses of God, looking at the book of Ezekiel, a series we started back in February, paused in March, and have resumed just last week's lesson and then today's lesson. We live in a desert, and these creeks in the desert are amazing things. As they bring water down from the mountains, and they cut through ravines, flow in between mountains until they get to a bigger river and join it there. In this case, the Cowichi runs into the Natchez, which runs into the Yakima, to the Columbia, to the Pacific Ocean. As they wind their way through the hills, you go across these desert hills where there's nothing but brown sagebrush, shrub step, and then all of a sudden you come across a creek, and wherever the water is, there is an abundance of life. Just walking out here, my son and I saw a beautiful hawk flying just over our heads. Just gorgeous butterflies, grasshoppers. We saw all kinds of beautiful things. A river, a creek in the desert is like an oasis out in the wilderness. Living things just gather around it. Trees, grass, flowers, insects, wildlife, just beautiful, beautiful things that God has made. Just a place full of life. In a stream of water like this one behind me is a picture of the grand story of God's great work in human history. In Scripture, it's not a creek, but it's a river. And wherever the river goes, it brings life to everything it touches, because the river comes from God. The theme of the river comes up at the beginning of Scripture's story, right in the opening chapters of the book of Genesis. It comes up again in the middle of Scripture. We'll look at such a passage from Ezekiel today. And it comes up again at the end, three times. And so today our message is about three rivers. Really, it's the same river, perhaps, three different times. And our final passage from Ezekiel is the second of these rivers. And so that's where we'll spend the most time today. In the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2 says this, chapter 2 and verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. In the beginning, God placed the first man in a garden, and the first woman was created there soon after. There was plenty of food in the garden. The tree of life was there, and also that other tree, the one that represented humanity's free will to rebel against God if they so chose. God was there in the garden. The creator, the life giver. Life was fully good there. The river watered the garden, and then when it exited the garden, it broke into four great rivers that spread across the land. God blessed our ancestors with life in the garden watered by that river. But in time, we lost the garden. We lost the river. Adam and Eve rebelled against God, and their descendants ever since them have done the same whenever we sin. Because God created us in His own image. So whenever we do what is counter to the character of God, we sin against Him, we defy His creation and the way that He made us, we darken His image within us, and we rebel against who He created us to be. So Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. They were exiled, you might say. But God did not abandon them. He continued to work in these people who again and again pushed Him away or rejected Him, but some listened to Him and some followed Him. And God worked in those who were open to a connection with God, Adam and Eve, and then Abel and Enoch and Noah and eventually Abraham, and then Abraham's family who became the nation of Israel. And in the people of Israel, God offered renewal of life. He gave them freedom from bondage to slavery in Egypt. He gave them their own pleasant land to live in. He gave them peace and hope in their own nation. Once, when Israel was traveling through the desert, as God was leading them toward the promised land, they stopped in a place that had no water. And God supplied them with water flowing out of a rock for them to drink. His water gave them life, just as all His mighty acts were bringing life to their nation. But even that new life that God gave to Israel was eventually lost. Israel, over time, rebelled against God. Their nation was destroyed. Their great city, Jerusalem, was destroyed. God's temple there was destroyed. All this happened in the time of the prophet Ezekiel. And then, like Adam and Eve, the Jewish people were sent away into exile out of the beautiful land that God had given them, away from God's blessing, away from the good life He had offered. But again, God did not give up on the people, but He offered His people hope for a renewal of life again. 14 years after Jerusalem fell, Ezekiel saw a magnificent vision from God. Ezekiel 40, verse 1, gives us the exact date, and on our calendar, the date he gives correlates to April 28, 573 B.C. That day, Ezekiel received a vision of a time when God would renew the life of Israel. Jerusalem, their great city, was rebuilt in this vision. God's temple was rebuilt in this vision. The vision is long. It covers Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48, and about half of it celebrates the renewal of God's temple. The vision anticipates the renewal of the priesthood, too, there at the temple. And it anticipates the Israelites getting to live in their own land again and having their own leader again. The vision at one point focuses in on a river. A river that sounds a bit like that first river that we heard about in Genesis. So this is Ezekiel 47, verse 1. The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore. From En Gedi to En Eglaim, there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. The man guiding Ezekiel in this vision is actually an angel. And he shows Ezekiel a river coming out of the renewed temple. It trickles out of the temple and flows east toward the desert. After about a third of a mile, 1,000 cubits, the water is deeper. It's ankle deep now. After another third of a mile, it's knee deep. Another third of a mile, and it's waist deep. Another third of a mile, and it's deep enough to swim in. It gets deep miraculously quickly. But even more amazing is how the river affects everything around it. Wherever the river goes, life abounds. The super salty water of the Dead Sea becomes fresh because the river from God's temple makes it fresh. And fish now thrive in the Dead Sea so that fishermen can fish there and spread their nets along the shores. But if you're worried that there won't be anywhere to get salt anymore because the Dead Sea won't be salty anymore, don't worry. Verse 11 says there will still be salt in the swamps and marshes. The Dead Sea, in the time of Ezekiel, was an important source of salt for that part of the world. All around the river, fruit trees of all kinds will grow. Miraculous fruit trees, because they will bear their fruit every month, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will be good food, and their leaves will bring healing. Now, the key here is not that there's a river, but that this river flows from God and from his temple. Life comes from God. Where God is, life flows out like a river. Where people abandon God, they abandon life. So God's call to Israel here was to return to God. They had left God. They had been exiled from their homeland. Now God called them back to him to receive life from him again, to receive life renewed. And they did. Israel came back to God, and he brought them back to their homeland, and their life as a nation was renewed. But they weren't entirely faithful. They wavered in their faith. They were often drawn to the great power of the Greek Empire or of the Roman Empire that followed after the Babylonians of Ezekiel's time and after the Persians who came after the Babylonians. This was in the time between the Old and the New Testaments. The Jews were drawn to that power sometimes instead of to God. And so Israel never fully received what this vision offered them, that full communion with God, that sharing of life with him that brings the people he created into the fullest possible experience of life. And then Jesus came. He came and he became the new Adam, the first human being to absolutely walk with God. He bore the image of God perfectly, like no one else ever had. He was God's son, entirely without sin, absolutely obedient to God. He taught us how to come to God. He died for our forgiveness. He gave his life in payment for our sins so that we can have new life in God, a new start with God. He rose from the dead to conquer death forever and to rule over God's kingdom and to give us hope for eternal life. He invited us into the kingdom of God. Because where people come to God as their king, God gives life abundantly. Jesus said once, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. His teachings bring us life in God as they bring us to God. As we follow him, we receive God's Holy Spirit. In John chapter 7, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit rivers of living water that flow from within us. God's Spirit is our river of living water that brings us life. God himself works within us through his Spirit to renew us and to refresh us and to give us life. At the end of the Bible, in the very last prophetic vision, we see the river of God once more. In Revelation 22, in verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The water of life, the river that comes from the throne of God and of Jesus the Lamb, that flows through the great city that represents the gathered, glorified people of God in eternal life, here in Revelation. The river, clean and clear, brings life wherever it goes. The tree of life from the Garden of Eden grows alongside this river and bears its fruit every month. Its leaves bring healing to the nations. The curse that God invoked when Adam and Eve were exiled from the garden is taken away forever. So there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain where this river flows, because those old ways are gone. Now God and Jesus the Lamb and God's people are all gathered together there in that great eternal city, like a renewed Garden of Eden. This city is also a garden. And God's people will serve him, and they will see his face, and he will give us light, and we will reign forever and ever, which is what God created us to do at the beginning. People and beauty and God and life and healing and food and the river and God and light, and God is there, and Jesus the Lamb, and God is there, and all God's people from across the expanse of time, and God is there, the creator, the giver of life. He is there with his people. And so today, we're in between the time of Ezekiel's vision and the time of Revelation's vision. We're in between those two rivers. But already, we can drink from the river of the water of life that Ezekiel saw, that John foresaw in Revelation, because it's the river that Jesus offered us, which is God's Holy Spirit, the presence of God in our lives. So if you're feeling dry in your life, come and drink of the water of God. And if you're feeling worn out and weary, come and drink. If nothing you've tried has refreshed you like you need, come to the river. If you're walking with God, drink deeply. If you love God and have found life in him, then just wait. Because there's more to come, and it gets better when Jesus comes again and that river rushes at its fullest and fills up its banks, and life just spreads out from it. There is more to come. We can't wait. And if you can't wait to get to that great eternal city, you know, the one that is a garden where all God's people are gathered and God is there too. And if you can't wait to share in the water of life that flows from the throne of God, you can already drink of it today. That water comes from God himself and he offers it freely. For Revelation 22 verse 17, almost at the very end of Revelation, almost at the very end of the Bible, says this. It gives this great invitation to all who are thirsty. It says, "The Spirit and the Bride," which is the church, "say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." God offers us refreshment that no one else can provide. He is the giver of life. He is the renewer of life. And he offers life today if we'll come and take it. There are a lot of days when life is dry like the summertime hills around Yakima. But wherever God's river flows, even in the desert, where his river flows, there is abundance of life, rest and peace and healing and hope and joy. The presence of God in our lives. Come to the river. Take the free gift of the water of life. Drink deeply of it. Come and let God give you life made new. The Spirit and the church invite you. Let the one who is thirsty come. I pray that you will come. And if you already have, may you just come more and more. May we each drink more and more deeply of the water of life that God offers to those who follow Jesus. Let's close this message with prayer. Our God, as I rest in this beautiful place by the creek behind me, and as those who are sharing in this message with me rest each in their own place that you have given them for this moment, Lord, would you bless us, and would you watch over us? Would you guard us and help us each day? Lord, sometimes life gets really dry. Sometimes it's just hard. Sometimes it's so frustrating. Sometimes we're alone, and sometimes we just hurt so bad. Lord God, we know those are just a part of life and that that's the way it is until Jesus comes again. We understand that. But we pray that even now you would begin again to pour anew your river into our lives to give us new life and to make us new from the inside out. Lord God, we put our trust in you and we hope in you daily, Lord. We depend on you to renew us, and we acknowledge today that you do, Lord. You continually renew us. Griefs may come, heartache may come, but hope springs anew in the morning. Not because we're optimistic, but because we know our God. You renew us, Lord. Give us your Spirit and fill us with your Spirit, with that water of life, that river of life that flows from within us. And bless your people today. In Jesus' name. Amen. May God go with you this week, dear friends.